Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Hi friends, thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Let's continue with this epilogue to the Lotus Sutra and through to the entirety of Shakyamuni's teachings. It's really an impressive little sutra. It's covering a lot of ground. But he's been telling us now how to practice. And he continues, in this manner, after 3 times 7 days and nights have passed, he will thereupon acquire the dharani of revolution. Through acquiring the dharani, namo myoho renge kyo, he will keep in his memory, without losing it, the wonderful law which the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have taught. In his dreams, he will also see constantly the 7 Buddhas of the past, among whom only Shakyamuni Buddha will teach the law to him. These world-honored ones will each praise the great vehicle sutras. So if you'll notice in the Lotus Sutra, Shakyamuni makes a special account of certain Buddhas, not least of which is abundant treasures, right? But he mentions some others that end up being time-adapted, if you will, stories of his own origin story. In many of these accounts, these stories, not accounts, where Shakyamuni is teaching some aspect of perseverance, timelessness of the Tathagata, he resolves to say, well, what do you think? Is this anyone else other than me? Right? So all of these emanations, quote unquote, of Buddha are their storytelling tools, their expedient devices. Trying to explore with students the fantastic mental journey that at what point takes millennia but passes in an afternoon, the idea of the amount of information that can go through a human sentient mind in such little time, again, points to the unfathomable storehouse of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that is Buddha-ness. But one need not span the entire cosmos of time, quote-unquote, to understand this facet of the engine of life. This is part of the awakening. And over and over again, the stories of the Lotus try to explain that this is part of how, in our path toward our enlightenment, we change our understanding, our hard and fast rule of this is before, this is after, this is time, and I own time and I possess time. No, you don't. You're momentum. You're creating your own time, and that time only lasts moment to moment to moment to moment. Let's continue. At that time, the practitioner will gain further rejoice and universally salute the Buddhas in all directions. After he salutes the Buddhas in all directions, in other words, recognizing that everything is the engine of life, that all friends, relatives, others, environment is this moment-to-moment process of instantiating potential, after he salutes the Buddhas in all directions, the Bodhisattvas, universal virtue, abiding before him, will teach and explain to him all karma repercussions and environments of his former lives, the influence actions made in each moment to moment, and will cause him to contemplate his black. Okay, black and deluded and malicious errors or delusions, turning to the world-honored ones, he should release his errors or delusions with his own mouth. Now, what's that a description of? Think about it. Don't rush. In the context of everything I've explained so far, after he salutes the Buddhas in all directions, what is a salute to all the Buddhas? It's a recognition, right? After we understand that Buddha-ness is inherent in all phenomena, the Bodhisattva universal virtue, which is that knowing, right? The Tathagata knowing, abiding before him, will teach and explain to him all karma, repercussions, and environments of his former lives, influences that he's made, that you've made, and will cause him to contemplate his errors in the past. Now, not so much the past, but those that still are intermingling in your present thinking. Remembrances, right? Whatever those are attachments and clinging to events that you have experienced, you think you've experienced in a certain way, that now need to dissolve. They're not useful. They're impediments. Isn't this what we do when we chant to mandala? Yes. More to the point, it's what we do when we awaken our Buddha mind, which has no use for that clutter. And we're discussing it story style here. Turning to the world-honored ones, he should release his errors and delusions with his own mouth. Mouth, chanting, singing, namo myoho renge kyo, releasing those impediments. My goodness, it's so obvious, is it not? After he finishes releasing, then chanting, his errors or delusions, then he will attain the contemplation of the revelation of Buddhas to men. And the footnote here, the contemplation in which the Buddhas always reveal themselves to everyone. In other words, when you make that paradigm shift to your Buddha wisdom, your Buddha eye, everyone else will notice something has changed, including yourself, hopefully. We're the biggest doubters. But when you instantiate your Buddha-ness, it becomes quite obvious to everyone in your environment. Having attained this contemplation, he will plainly and clearly see the Buddha Akshobha and the kingdom of wonderful joy in the eastern quarter. In other words, whatever name you want to give it, as I've said before, when you turn away from your Buddhadan and your mandala, and you maintain this wisdom eye, this Buddha eye, everything seems different. Because you see it differently. You experience the engine of life happening moment to moment before your eyes, your purified sense organ of the eye. In like manner, he will plainly and clearly see the a priori lands of the Buddhas in each of all of the directions. After he has seen the Buddhas in all directions, he will have a dream. And this might be how your dream, as you sleep, goes. On the elephant's head is a diamond man pointing his diamond pounder at the six organs. After pointing it at the six organs, the Bodhisattva universal virtue will teach to the practitioner the law of reprieve to obtain the purity of the six organs. Is this not what I was just saying? In this way, the practitioner will do reprieve for a day or 3 times 7 days. Then, by the power of the contemplation of the revelation of Buddhas to men, and by the adornment of the teaching of the Bodhisattva Universal Virtue, the practitioner's ears will gradually hear sounds without impediment. His eyes will gradually see things without impediment, and his nose will gradually smell odors without impediment. Not necessarily a good thing. Here again, another annotation from yours truly, is the purification of the six senses. We can see in this extended story the recounting of the many lessons and stages of practice and learning taught throughout Shakyamuni's lifetime, and with focus on the One Vehicle Sutra, of course. However, it is also important to keep in mind that Shakyamuni pointed out here that this is a restatement of his first teaching, the Avatamsaka Sutra, also known in Japan as the Qigong, or in China as the Flower Garland, or some such name. Continuing, this is as taught extensively in the wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra, the Myohurin Gekkyo. Having obtained the purity of the six organs, he will have joy of body and mind and freedom from deluded and malicious ideas, and will devote himself to the law so he can conform to it. Right? Enter the manifest body of Buddha as Bodhisattva. He will again further acquire 100,000 myriad kodas of dharani, of revolution, and will again see extensively 100,000 myriad kodas of innumerable Buddhas. You'll start seeing Buddhaness everywhere. How wonderful. How confidence building, right? These world-honored ones will all stretch out their right hands, laying them on the head of practitioner, and will speak thus, "Good, good. You are a practitioner of the great vehicle, an aspirant to the spirit of great adornment, and one who keeps the great vehicle in his mind, single-mindedly, always, moment to moment, maintaining seeking Buddha, the state of Buddha. When of old we aspired to Buddhahood, we were also like you. Steadfastly do you be zealous, and do not lose the great vehicle." Keep it in mind, always, right? Here I am with another annotation. I just can't help myself. You may recall that this name of the Great Vehicle Sutra was first used in the Innumerable Meanings Sutra, right? The prologue to the Lotus. Of course, it is used here to indicate the Lotus Dharma Sutra. But more to the point, I raised this dual labeling of the Innumerable Meaning Sutra being, in fact, the Lotus Sutra by way as an introductory or prologue of the Lotus Dharma Sutra. Remember? That was over 60 videos ago. Do you remember? Continuing on, because we practiced it in our former lives, this is more clearly understood as the Tathagata, or engine of life, from which we are all manifest and therefore inherently integrated with this potential. We have now become the pure body of the all-wise, simply put, self-realized. Do you now be diligent and not lazy? Yet another exhortation to resolve and zeal, right? Nichiren certainly picked up on that, right? He reminds us constantly. These great vehicle sutras, threefold lotus sutras, are the law treasury of the Buddhas, the eyes of the Buddhas from all directions in the past, present, future, and also the seed which produces the Tathagata, the embodiments in the past, present, and future, right? In the Saha world. He who keeps these sutras has the body of a Buddha and does the work of a Buddha. Know that such is the servant sent by the Buddhas, Such is covered by the robes of the Buddha, the world-honored ones. Such is a true law heir of the Buddhas, the Tathagata. Do you practice the great vehicle and do not cut off the law seeds? Do you now attentively behold the Buddhas in the Eastern Quarter? When these words are spoken, the practitioner sees all the innumerable worlds in the Eastern Quarter whose lands are as even as one's palm, with no mounds or hills or thorns, but with ground of lapis lazuli and with gold to bound the ways. So too is it in the worlds of all directions. Right? We discussed what that rhetoric is about. No more obstacles. Having finished beholding this matter, the practitioner, you and I, will see a jeweled tree which is lofty, wonderful, and 5,000 yohanas high. This tree will always produce deep gold and white silver and will be adorned with the precious seven jewels. In like manner, from all the trees, the other jewel thrones, and each jewel throne will emerge of themselves 500 white elephants on which all the bodhisattva universal virtues mount, all of them. In other words, all of those sentient minds created of and wise to the Tathagata, right? The bodhisattva universal virtue in Saha world. Thereupon, the practitioner, making reverence to all universal virtues, should speak thus. By what error or delusion have I only seen jewel grounds, jewel thrones, and jewel trees, but have been unable to see the Buddhas? How could I not have seen this before, right? When the practitioner finishes speaking thus, he will see that on each of the jewel thrones there is a world-honored one, sitting on a jewel throne and very wonderful in his majesty. Having seen the Buddhas, the practitioner will be greatly pleased and will again further recite and study the Great Vehicle Sutras. Is that not what we are doing right now? By the power of the Great Vehicle, from the sky there will come a voice praising and saying, good, good, good. By the cause of the merit you have acquired practicing the great vehicle, you have seen the Buddhas. Though you have now been able to see the Buddhas, the world-honored ones, you cannot yet see Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddhas who emanated from him, and the stupa of the abundant treasure, Buddha abundant treasures, the treasure tower. Of course, Nichiren took care of that for us, yeah? After hearing the voice in the sky, the practitioner will again zealously recite and study the Great Vehicle Sutras. Because he recites and studies the sutras of great extent, the Great Vehicle, even in his dreams, he will see Shakyamuni Buddha staying on the Mount Grihakuta, or Kuta, yeah, Vulture Peak. Or as I say here, Vulture or Eagle Peak, the place of propagation and practice. Where we all are joined, right, in the ceremony in the air. With the great assembly, teaching the Law Flower Dharma Sutra and expounding the meaning of one reality, this moment-to-moment engine of life, yeah? After the teaching is taught, with reprieve for past errors and a thirsting heart of aspiration, he will wish to see the Buddha. Then he must fold his hands and kneeling in the direction of Eagle Peak, he must speak thus. How can we kneel in the direction of Eagle Peak? Well, we have this mandala, the scene is set of that ceremony in the air. Tathagata, the world's hero, forever remains in this world out of compassion for me. Please reveal yourself to me. In other words, single-mindedly seeking Buddha, the only attitude one should have while chanting to the mandala, to the Gohonzon mind, the mandala being a mirror, a reflector of. After he has spoken thus, he will see Eagle Peak or Vulture Peak, adorned with the precious seven jewels, there it is, and filled with countless bhikshus, shravakas, and the great assembly. Thank you, Nitra. He's given it to us. Made it super simple. Another annotation, a kind of instant replay of the ceremony in the air, is it not? This place is lined with jewel trees, and its jewel ground is even and smooth. There's a wonderfully jeweled lion throne, and spread on it sits Shakyamuni Buddha, who sends forth from his eyebrows a ray of light, which shines everywhere throughout all directions of the universe and passes through the innumerable worlds in all directions. It's that perceptive insight of moment-to-moment-ness that everything in the entire cosmos is happening at the same moment, moment, moment. That's an incredible insight. One super hard to fathom. The Buddhas emanated from Shakyamuni Buddha in all directions where this ray reaches, assemble like a cloud at one time, and teach extensively the wonderful law, as it is said in the wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra. Each of these emanated Buddhas, having a body of deep gold, is boundless in the size of his body and sits on his lion throne, accompanied by countless hundreds of codas of great bodhisattvas as his retinue. The practice of each bodhisattva is equal to that of universal virtue. Can I remind you of a story I said years ago? I don't think I've talked about it in a long time. I think it was in a discussion of energy. I was trying to make a visualization of energy as these little tiny quanta, like light, as a huge cosmos-sized mist of little quanta, so tiny and filled with light and so pervasive everywhere that you wouldn't see them for seeing them until they coalesced into different masses of quanta. And they would create denser areas of this mist. And I made the analogy that you and I and all of the things that we see are just different concentrations and masses, loosely put together, tightly put together, of these quantas, this mist, until some of them are so tight and compacted that they seem solid. Well, that's you and I. That's the engine of life. That's the amalgam of karma, formations. Do you see? And I'm seeing it again as I read these descriptions here. So too is it in the entire retinue of the countless Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in all directions, when the great assembly have gathered together like a cloud, they will see Shakyamuni Buddha, who from the pores of his whole body emits rays of light, in each of which 100 codas of transformed Buddhas dwell. We're all the same stuff. These quantas of light. Energy, I should say. The emanated Buddhas will emit rays of light from the white hair circles, the sign of the great man, between their eyebrows, streaming on the head of Shakyamuni Buddha. Beholding this aspect, the emanated Buddhas will also emit from all the pores of their bodies rays of light, in each of which transformed Buddhas, numerous as the atoms of the sands of the Ganges, abide. This seems so familiar to me with my previous analogies about quantas of light or energy, right? Thereupon, the Bodhisattva, universal virtue, will again emit the ray of light, the sign of a great man, between his eyebrows, and put it into the heart of the practitioner. After this ray has entered into his heart, the practitioner himself will remember that under the countless hundreds and thousands of Buddhas in the past, he received and kept, read and recited the Great Vehicle Sutras, and he will himself plainly and clearly see his former instantiations, yeah, his former lives. He will possess the very faculty of transcendent remembrance of former states of existence. Little note from me, this is the all-knowing and understanding mind of Tathagata, isn't it? The action of formations, quote-unquote, that beget everything in the realms of form and name. Immediately attaining a great enlightenment, he will acquire the Dharani of revolution and 100,000 myriad kodas of Dharanis. A reminder, what is the Dharani of revolution? It's that transmigration, right? From our samsaric attachments in the Saha world to our realization of Buddhahood. Rising from his contemplation, he will see before himself all the emanated Buddhas from Tathagatanas, or the engine of life. Sitting on lion thrones under the jewel trees, he will also see the ground of lapis lazuli springing up from the lower sky like heaps of lotus flowers. Between each flower there will be bodhisattvas numerous as the atoms of the sands of the Ganges, and sitting cross-legged, in other words, attentive but relaxed. He will also see the bodhisattvas who emanated from universal virtue, extolling and expounding the great vehicle among their assemblies. Then the bodhisattva, with one voice, will cause the practitioner to purify his six organs. Quote, one bodhisattva teaching will say, do you reflect on the Buddha? Another's teaching will say, do you reflect on the law? Another teacher's teaching will say, do you reflect on the Sangha? Still another teaching will say, do you reflect on the precepts? Still another teaching will say, do you reflect on the generosity? And another's teaching will say, do you reflect on the cosmos? And the teaching will further say, such six laws are the aspiration to Buddhahood and are the ones that beget the bodhisattva. Before the Buddhas, do you now contemplate your previous errors or delusions and revile them sincerely? Right? This is a constant process in these earlier teachings, right? That are part of the transformation of leaving the samsaric impediments, constant distraction, and simply leaving them behind for this new realized truth. What follows is a rather detailed description of samsara. In your innumerable former lives, by reason of your organ of the eye, you have been attached to all forms. Now, you may find this useful because it may give you insights as to how our impediments are actually our impediments, right? How is my sight organ such a problem? In and of itself, it is not, but it is how your mind utilizes this tool that is the source of error. So let's see what this closing sutra has to say about it. My space. Because of your attachment to forms, you hanker after all dust. These sentences are compact, right? We've had very long alliterations about attachment, you know, visual, sound, tongue, purifications, right? But now we're taking the other tact and we're saying, listen to how you've used these without purification to entrap you in suffering. And your eye's been so completely deluded by categorizing, identifying, database, right? that it's become ridiculous to the point of identifying dust. Because of your hankering after dust, you receive a woman's body and then you're pleasurably absorbed in all forms everywhere you're born age after age. Ouch. Forms harm your eyes and you become a slave of human affections. Not that affection is bad, but the affections you have are for empty, non-existent, impermanent things. Like dust. Therefore, forms cause you to wander in the triple world. Such fatigue of your wandering there makes you so blind that you can see nothing at all. You have now recited the sutras of great extent, the great vehicle. In these sutras, the Buddhas of all directions teach that their forms and bodies are not extinct. This is due to the teaching elaborating on the fact that they never existed in the first place. Right? These are experiences of energy, quanta, moving. When we talk about existence and non-existence, we're talking about the separation between experience and samsaric possession, identification, which is a false thinking. You've now been able to see them. Is this not true? The delusions and maliciousness of your eye organ consciousness often does much harm to you. The skandhas, yeah? Obediently following my words, you must take refuge in the Buddhas and Shakyamuni Buddha and contemplate the errors or delusions due to your organ of the eye. Saying to yourself, law, water of wisdom, I, possessed by the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, be pleased by means of it to wash me and to let me become pure. Right? This would be would indicate the wisdom of realizing emptiness or impermanence. Realizing your own delusion. Like sensing you're in a room full of ghosts. And you turn the light on and go, silly, right? Having finished speaking thus, the practitioner should universally salute the Buddhas in all directions, and turning to Shakyamuni Buddha and the Great Vehicle Sutras, he should again speak thus. The heavy errors or delusions of my own eye organ consciousness, of which I now acknowledge one's errors and resolve to redress attitude and intent, are such an impediment and are so tainted that I am blind and can see nothing at all. May the Buddha be pleased to pity and protect me by his great mercy, compassion. The Bodhisattva Universal Virtue on board the ship of the Great Law ferries the company of the countless Bodhisattvas everywhere in all directions. Out of compassion for me, be pleased to permit me to hear the law of regretting or reflection on the deluded and maliciousness of my eye organ consciousness and the impediment of my negative karma repercussions. Repercussions because of investment in those false views, yeah? Speaking thus three times, we do this a lot in Buddhism, the practitioner must prostrate himself down to the ground and rightly reflect the great vehicle without forgetting it. This is called the law regretting the error of delusion of the organ of the eye. In our modern era, my note here, we would describe this as the perception of our own karma and or tendencies manifest in karmic repercussions. If there be anyone who calls upon the names of the Buddhas, burns incense, strews flowers, aspires to the great vehicle, hangs silk flagged canopies, speaks of the errors of his eyes, and regrets his errors or delusions, such a one in the present world will see Shakyamuni Buddha, the Buddhas who emanated from him, and countless other Buddhas, and will not fall into the deluded and malicious paths for Asamkhya Kalpas. See, once you perceive something clearly, you can fool yourself, but you'll never fall completely under the auspices of those false views. You know better, right? Let's go on a little further. Thanks to the power and to the vow of the great vehicle, such a one will become an attendant of the Buddhas, together with all the bodhisattvas of Dharani. Anyone who reflects thus is one who thinks rightly. If anyone reflects otherwise, such is called one who thinks falsely. This is called the sign of the first stage of the purification of the I consciousness. So this may seem like a bit of a review, but this is an epilogue, right? And these consciousnesses, these skandhas, are the main source of our delusions in the Saha world, the source of our samsaric perceptions. Finally, with the body itself, yes? Having finished purifying the eye organ, or the organ of the eye, the practitioner should again further read and recite the Great Vehicle Sutras, kneel and acknowledge one's errors and resolve to redress attitude and intent six times day and night, and should speak thus, why can I only see Buddha and the Buddha's emanations, but cannot see Buddha's relics of his whole body in the stupa of the Buddha abundant treasures? I have a note here. This would relate directly to Nichiren's many statements of seeing in the mind's eye the mandala of Gohonzon and Nichiren's own presence in a practitioner's life. Whether looking at the moon, which Nichiren often wrote about, to remind of Nichiren's presence, or to envision the treasure tower of the mandala, we are exhorted to remain steadfast in our connection to our Buddha eye via the mandala and our conscious focus of Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. It's all within that invocation, that Dharani. How amazing is that? It's so simple and yet so profound. The stupa of the Buddha abundant treasures exists forever and is not extinct. Why? Because it's not a rock, it's not even the mandala. The concept that we are using in the Saha world is all about instantiating this truth in our minds. That's where all of this drama is occurring. Right? I have defiled the deluded and malicious eyes of samsara. For this reason, I cannot see the stupa. After speaking thus, the practitioner should again practice further contemplation. Right? This is that self-realizing thing. You don't need to beat yourself up. This is just the mental realization of the impediments that we've created for ourselves because of our desire to please these wonderful organs, sense organs that we have, of the tongue, of the eye, of the nose, of the skin, of feeling, of the body, right? We get lost in it. Oops. We can now redirect all of that toward enlightenment. It's not lost. It's not useless. It's just that it hasn't been used wisely and attached itself delusions of ownership, possession. You see? We're now taking that apart. After 7 days has passed, the stupa of the Buddha of Abundant Treasures will spring out of the earth. This prescription for self-criticism and realization points directly to the fact that we are, in fact, the treasure tower. It is our opportunity in physical form, in the Saha world, to manifest the Tathagata potential of the engine of life to the full. Anything less is to fall away from our innate potential through our own distractions of the three poisons, greed, anger, and foolishness. Through this realization and daimoku, we reestablish our inherent status of the instantiation of Tathagata suchness. Tathagata, yeah. Embodying the treasure tower analogy. To continue, Shakyamuni Buddha with his right hand opens the door of the stupa, where the Buddha Abundant Treasures is seen deep in the contemplation of the universal revelation of forms. From each pore of his body, he emits a ray of light as numerous as the atoms of the sands of the Ganges. In each ray, there dwells one of the 100,000 myriad kotas of transformed Buddhas. When such a sign appears, the practitioner will rejoice and make procession around the stupa with praising verses. When he has finished making procession around it 7 times, the Buddha Abundant Treasures, with a great voice, praises him, saying, "Heir of the law, you have truly practiced the great vehicle and have obediently followed universal virtue, regretting the former errors and delusions of your eye organ consciousness. For this reason, I will go to you and bear testimony to you." Having spoken thus, the Tathagata extols the Buddha, saying, "Excellent, excellent, Shakyamuni Buddha, you are able to teach the great law, to pour the rain of the great law, and to cause all the defiled living to accomplish their Buddhahood." Thereupon, the practitioner, having beheld the stupa of the Buddha Abundant Treasures, again goes to the Bodhisattva Universal Virtue, and folding his hands and saluting him, speaks to him, saying, "Great teacher, please teach me the reprieve of my errors." Universal Virtue again speaks to the practitioner, saying, "Through many kalpas, because of your ear organ consciousness, you dangle after external sounds. Your hearing of samsaric sounds begets attachment to them." And here we go on the next skanda. We need to adjust, right? So I have a little, why is that not? Oh, because I have more. The word hearing is used here to indicate the conscious choice to embrace the mundane pleasuring of skandhas, right? Your hearing of deluded and malicious sounds causes harm of 108 illusions. 108 is not a casual number thrown out here. It's used a lot. Let's see what I said here. Note, the 108 illusions here are an ancient summation of numerations of delusions or defilements of the human mind used by many religions and traditions. Nichiren and other beads have, in fact, 108 beads in their main circle to represent the variety of samsaric attachments that threaten our enlightenment in our path to Buddhahood. And I have a document on the threefoldlotus.com site on the beads, and I have a video on the beads that you can watch that explores not only the 108, but we actually have 4 additional ones representing the bodhisattvas of the earth, right? And then these other beads, but you can research that on your own in the videos or podcasts or the website. Such repercussions of your hearing deluded and malicious things brings about the attachment and possession of deluded and malicious things, and your incessant hearing of these sounds produces various and complex entanglements. Now, if you're a fan of quantum, as I am, the word entanglements has a profundity of meaning in itself, doesn't it? So because of your perverted hearing, you will fall into perverted paths, faraway places of false views where the law cannot be heard. You're too busy attaching yourself to these sounds, yeah? At present, you have recited and kept the great vehicle, the ocean store of merits, for this reason. You have come to see the Buddhas in all directions, and the stupa of the Buddha, abundant treasures, has appeared to bear testimony to you. You must yourself contemplate your own errors and deluded and maliciousness, and must be regretful of all your errors or delusion. It's not about paying, being punished, you see. It's about realization of how you've built these impediments to your enlightenment. There's no punishments here, right? Then the practitioner, having heard thus, must again fold his hands and prostrate himself down to the ground. He must speak thus, saying, you know, the prostration of the ground is basically deeply consider with humility how you've created your own obstacles in life and how you must endeavor to clear them away. Yeah? All wise, world-honored one, be pleased to reveal yourself and bear testimony to me. I'm changing it. I'm doing it now. I'm single-mindedly manifesting Buddha. Nichiren provided for us the Daimoku for this most efficacious conversion of our samsaric delusions into Buddha insights and wisdom. What teaching of Nichiren is that? Earthly desires are enlightenment. Should probably add that to this. Yeah, I'm going to. This was uniquely discussed in his writing of the quote, earthly desires are enlightenment. Okay. The sutras of great extent are the masters of compassion. Be pleased to look upon me and hear my words as I recite the lotus teachings. Yes? Until my present life, for many kalpas, because of my ear organ consciousness, I have been attached to hearing deluded and malicious sounds like glue sticking to grass. My hearing of deluded and malicious sounds caused the poison of illusions, which are attached to every condition, and I am not able to rest even for a little while. My raising deluded and malicious sounds fatigues my nerves and makes me fall into the three deluded ways. So this kind of repentance is no longer relevant, and I suspect it is heavily influenced translation rhetoric bias of the authors. What is notable, though, is the mental self-examination that comes of our daimoku and recitation. It is not necessary to precisely understand every minutia of our epistemological predilections and karmic manifestations in order to redress those past errors and attachment. It is helpful to understand, typos, though, that the source of our samsaric delusions do manifest from within our own karmic momentum, right? This is the profound realization that all life and our experience of our full potential is fully in our own efforts. Now, having for the first time understood this, I contemplate and I am in recognition of it, turning to the world-honored ones. And I think at this point, I'm going to pause and we'll continue with this epilogue in the next video. I hope you're finding tremendous insights in this. I'm going to interject my own understandings and I'm finding that a lot of the rhetoric of this particular sutra is a bit of a throwback. And so I don't want you to get lost in that, which is why, like the last statement I just made, I'm putting interjections in here so that you stay on track, right? We are Nichiren Doctrine Buddhists of the Lotus Sutra practice. So never forget that is our mission here. With great appreciation for your support and your practice, remember all the links in the description and different ways you can support our effort here to expand our Sangha and to just instill confidence in anyone who is practicing Nichiren's doctrines. Yeah? For that, I respect and admire you all. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for all your support. I will let you go. Take care of your health. Without that, it's hard to practice. And practice is difficult enough, isn't it? I appreciate your efforts, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.